Haiti, the First Black Nation, by Bridie Leonard, illustrated by Jesus Enrique de Maria y Campos. Genre: expository text gives information about real people and events. Look for information about real events from America's history as you read. Question of the week: what does it mean to be a pioneer? The Tainos. The Caribbean islands are located to the east of Central America in the Caribbean Sea. They are made up of more than 7,000 islands, some of which are independent island countries, such as Cuba, Jamaica, Puerto Rico, and Haiti. Haiti is situated on the island of Hispaniola, which is known as the Greater Antilles. The island is shared and divided between two nations. Haiti occupies one-third of the island, whilst its neighbor, the Dominican Republic, takes up the other two-thirds. Haiti was first inhabited by indigenous people called the Tainos, or less commonly known as the Arawaks. They originated from South America and have been described as gentle-natured people who were good with agriculture and hunting. They were also strong sailors and skilled fishermen. They didn't have a calendar or a writing system, and they used their fingers and toes to count. This meant that they could only count to 20. They also devised poetry, made music, and were experienced farmers and navigators. The Taino society was divided into two classes: the working class, and the noble class. Each society or village was a self-contained kingdom led by a male chief, otherwise known as a cacique. Before the European invasion, the Tainos had only ever experienced conflict with the Caribs, an aggressive and cruel tribe with South American origins. The French name Haiti comes from the Taino indigenous word Haiti and means land of the mountains. True to its name, Haiti is a very mountainous land and is famous for its natural beauty. It is a land rich in coffee and sugar, as well as mango and banana crops. Under the Spanish rule. During this time, the Taino natives were plentiful and inhabited what is now known as Haiti, as well as the Dominican Republic, Cuba, Jamaica, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. They had arrived in the Caribbean approximately 2,000 years before Columbus. In the time of the Taino people, Haiti was a paradise abundant with nature and wildlife. The natives lived off the land, using trees to make homes and canoes, and cotton to make hammocks and ropes. Their lifestyle was centered around growing and harvesting crops, hunting, fishing, and collecting wild plants. They had a complex system of beliefs, their own religion and traditions, as well as an organized hierarchical social system. The Taino people welcomed Columbus and the Spaniards with open arms and kind hospitality, not foreseeing the enslavement and bloodshed to come. Although Columbus admired their skill as sailors and their ability with the land, he also found them to be incredibly innocent and simple. He was fascinated by their overwhelming generosity and saw potential for them to be servants. He wrote to the King and Queen of Spain, "There I found very many islands, filled with innumerable people, and I have taken possession of them all. No opposition was offered to me." Since Columbus was not able to return to the Old World with gold, he decided to return with slaves. He enslaved around 500 Taino natives aboard his ship and left 500 under Spanish rule. He called them Indians and began to export them as slaves. The Tainos' peaceful way of life would never be the same again. Instead, it drastically changed to a fight for survival under foreign rule, where they had to battle diseases, abuse, and slave labor. The Spanish colonists forced the Taino people to work the land under extremely poor conditions. They were vicious and brutal with the native people. When the Spaniards located gold on the island, the Tainos were made to spend their days mining. In 1495, the Tainos went to battle with the Spanish in an attempt to reclaim their freedom, but they were not used to Spanish war tactics and lost. By 1535, all the Taino people had been wiped out due to European diseases, of which they had no immunity to, forced labor, and extreme human abuse. Under the French rule. In 1697, the Treaty of Rijswijk was created for Spain to hand over the western third of Hispaniola to the French. France took over the island and named it Saint Domingue. Since Columbus and the Spanish had annihilated the indigenous population, the French decided to import over 800,000 African slaves to farm their crops. They took advantage of the land's rich agriculture for economic expansion in the New World. The French used slaves to work on the sugar and coffee plantations, as well as help produce cacao, the rich blue dye known as indigo, and cotton. Soon enough, Saint-Domingue became the richest colony in the New World, and the French settlers prospered greatly. The colony made more than 30% of sugar for Europe and over half of the world's coffee. Due to its extreme wealth, the island was often referred to as the Pearl of the Antilles, or the Pride of France in the New World. The treatment of slaves in Saint-Domingue was one of the most horrifying in history, and the slave system was famous for being the harshest in the New World. The French colony had the highest enslaved population in the Caribbean, and the slaves' only purpose was to work and produce money for the colony. In 1685, France's King Louis XIV passed a decree called the Code Noir. The idea of this decree was to outline the brutal conditions of slavery, as well as define the prohibitions and punishment for slaves. Unfortunately, the slave masters ignored this law put forward by the king and continued to treat the slaves with the utmost brutality. Slaves were given small rations of food, and due to working such long hours, they often didn't have time to cook. This meant that they had to eat the food raw, which was not good for their health. Slaves were punished constantly. Slaves lived in windowless huts with terrible conditions. They had to work long hours on the sugar and coffee plantations in the boiling hot sun. The slaves had to wear iron on their hands and feet, and some slaves even had to wear tin masks to prevent them from sucking on the sugar cane when working. These men probably suffered from extreme cases of loneliness, anguish, and hate. They were overworked and underfed, and yet expected to perform extreme physical work from sunrise to sunset. The Slaves' Rebellion. As sugar and coffee production increased, the need for expansion of the slave industry did as well. Saint-Domingue imported around 2,000 slaves yearly to meet the demands of slave labor. There was continual disturbance and opposition from the slaves, who were only met with severe punishment from their French masters. In the 1750s, some free slaves began to attain wealth and power by taking over some coffee plantations. It was around this time that rebellions began to break out amongst the slaves who wanted to take revenge on the white plantation owners. Some slaves started to run away and took refuge in the mountains and forests. These fugitive slaves were called Maroons, and they started to build their own self-sustained communities that were feared by the Europeans. One particular fugitive slave and rebel leader, François McCandell, became a hero in the slave community. McCandell was an African slave that was sold into slavery as a child and brought to Saint-Domingue to work on the plantations when he was 12. With his wide knowledge of wild poisonous plants, he managed to poison plantation owners and killed a lot of the island's white inhabitants. He led slave rebellions to attack plantation buildings and set fire to sugar plantations. McCandell was eventually captured and burned at the stake in January 1758. Rebellions and general unrest continued on the island, leading up to the beginning of the Haiti Revolution in 1791. The key leaders of the revolution were the ex-slaves Toussaint Louverture and Jean-Jacques Dessalines. Louverture was a free man when he started his work in the revolution and was a wealthy property owner. Under Louverture's leadership, the free slaves burned more than 1,000 plantations and took control of the north of the island by 1792. The white slave owners were terrified at how well the rebel slaves were managing to organize their attack. Under Louverture's leadership, the African former slaves managed to fight off both French and British forces. The ex-slaves started to gain control over Saint-Domingue, and by 1803, they had succeeded in overthrowing the French control over the colony. This would go down in history as an earth-shattering event, as it was recorded as the only successful slave rebellion in history where black people were liberated. Louverture not only helped abolish slavery in Haiti, but also in its neighboring country known as the Dominican Republic. There would have been many frontiersmen living on the border between the unsettled countries who could taste freedom for the first time. Napoleon Bonaparte, the ruler of France at that time, ordered for Louverture's arrest. He also attempted to restore slavery on the island of Hispaniola. He managed to capture Louverture and imprison him in France, where he ended up dying in 1803. As a result, his general, Jean-Jacques Dessalines, led the revolution in his absence. He successfully directed his army of former slaves into battle to defeat the French troops. The Cost of Freedom. On January 1, 1804, Dessalines declared independence for Saint-Domingue and renamed it Haiti. Dessalines published its Declaration of Independence, which stated, "We have dared to be free. Let us be thus by ourselves, for ourselves." The Haiti Revolution marked the end of slavery, and Haiti became the first black nation that was ruled by ex-slaves. The African slave trade was also abolished 4 years after the Haitian Independence Day. Although Haiti had claimed its independence as a country, it was left desolate and in ruins after the revolution. The post-revolutionary climate was a very tense one. The majority of the plantations had been destroyed, and ex-slaves no longer wanted to work on other people's plantations. There was also a mass fear that France might re-invade. As a result, Dessalines was faced with the difficult task of restoring Haiti's agricultural system and with the threat of the French return. Dessalines enforced a lot of laws under his reign. He made it illegal for white inhabitants to own property and took away their land. He also imposed a system of forced labor in an attempt to recover the economy. Dessalines soon became unpopular and disliked across the nation. The revolution instigated an exodus of French residents and freed slaves from the island. A lot of these slaves, such as Colonel Joseph Savary, had fought with the French during the Haiti Revolution and were worried about their safety. Many of these ex-slaves ended up fleeing to Louisiana in the United States. Dessalines was famous for his brutality, and although he promised to keep the remaining French inhabitants of the island safe, he ended up executing them. He also encouraged the slaves to kill the remaining white people on the island. In 1804, Dessalines was crowned Emperor Jacques I of Haiti. By 1806, he was killed whilst trying to suppress a revolt. After the Haiti Revolution, there was a migration of African Americans from the United States to other countries in the late 18th and 19th centuries. They were in search of freedom, and Haiti seemed like an enticing option. It was the promised land for slaves and poverty-stricken sharecroppers, where black men and women lived a free life. It offered homesteaders the chance to start over in a country where if you were black, you were automatically accepted as a citizen. Unfortunately, the reality is that although the revolution earned Haiti independence, it also destroyed its foundation and economy. Haiti struggled to regain its agriculture structure, and there was a lot of conflict amongst the local people. Even today, Haiti is one of the poorest countries in the Western Hemisphere and has suffered greatly as a country.